the old tradition. Got to try it one more time. The response is, He is risen indeed. He is risen. Did you hear the surprise, that stunning surprise in that story when all of a sudden Jesus simply said, Mary. And she recognized Him. That stunning, amazing revelation that He isn't dead. Jesus is alive. I titled my sermon, The Sting. Because this whole story, this amazing story, is all about a sting operation. This amazing heavenly sting operation. Maybe some of you might remember that Paul Newman, Robert Redford movie, The Sting, back in 1973. I had to rent it this week and watch it again. It's been so long since I've seen it. Really good movie. If you haven't seen it, you ought to see it. So for the younger generation, think of like Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12. What are they on? Ocean's 30 now or something like that. But, you know, it was basically them taking down this huge mob boss and setting him up and taking $500,000 from him, which back in 1936, that was a lot of money. It was like, you know, $50 million or something like that today. So it took him down. And the sting refers to that moment when the con works and you got him. And basically, that's what the story of Jesus' resurrection is all about. A sting operation. And it was this magnificently planned event that God started planning for, mentioning at least, even 1,000 years earlier, when King David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was writing in the Psalms. You start getting little hints, little evidence how this con is going to go down. And you start reading in Isaiah 700 years before Jesus' birth, you get even more evidence. And it's revealed right there in Scripture, but it was cloaked in mystery so that when it would happen, it quite literally was like pulling the carpet right out from under them. Pulling the carpet right out from under, boom, the devil and all of those under his influence. It struck me as I was reading through the lectionary texts in Psalm 118, verse 22, when it says, "The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." So here's the idea is, this stone, just rejecting, worthless, helpless, ridiculous. And God takes that and makes it the cornerstone. And that's what God's in the business of. That's what Paul is referring to in 1 Corinthians when he says, God delights in taking the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. See, God's in the business of sting operations. So if you're following me in the sermon notes, you'll see point two, it says, the greatest blank. And that is the great reversal. Jesus' resurrection was the great reversal. In wrestling terms, it's when somebody is maybe on their back, but definitely in a vulnerable position. The other person has the advantage. And all of a sudden, through some maneuver, including a lot of wits and a lot of strength, boom! Turns things completely over. Turns things completely around. Resurrection day was that. Jesus was in the tomb. He wasn't just down on his back. He was 6 feet under, quote unquote, so to say. And at the count of one, at the count of two, second day, at the count of up from the grave he arose, all of a sudden, it was this reversal. Jesus is alive. And I hope this morning, if I can't communicate anything else, what you get to understand, and I'm hoping that we can all understand in the depths of our souls, is the impact that reversal, that sting operation has on our very lives and on our very souls. All right, so let's continue. So that was the great reversal. Jesus was victorious. Point B, God delights in reversals. See, this wasn't some isolated incident. Never happened before, never going to happen again. Far from it. You see this all throughout Scripture. God loves doing this. Think of Pharaoh, the greatest king at the time. And he had the Israelites as his slaves. In walks Moses to Pharaoh's court. He summarily dismissed them, threw them out on his ear. Who are you coming in here, and who is this God? Oh, he was to find out very soon who this God was. Boom! A reversal. And Pharaoh finds himself as if on his back, pinned down. And when you look and really analyze those plagues, I mean, Egypt was decimated. Think of it. With those plagues, through those plagues, their agriculture decimated. Their livestock decimated. The fishing industry, when the Nile turned to blood and all the fish died, decimated. Not to mention every single firstborn child in Egypt. And then Pharaoh changes his mind, starts going after the Israelites. After all, his whole army, when the walls of water came down, decimated. Talk about a reversal. Then you got God's sting operation against Sennacherib. His sting operation against Sennacherib. Sennacherib made this fatal mistake. He was the king of Assyria at the time. At this time now, Assyria was the greatest kingdom on the earth. And here comes Sennacherib with a huge army, massive army, probably more than 200,000 strong, surrounds Jerusalem and starts, basically, you read the story, he makes the fatal mistake of mocking God. So don't, he tells them, don't even think about believing Hezekiah. When Hezekiah says that your God's going to deliver you, how is your God going to keep me from coming in here? It's basically his boast. And he mocks God. Was God nervous? Think God's up on his throne, wringing his hands? What are we going to do? God sends in one special ops agent, one angelic ninja, goes in, the angel of death, and in one night, 185,000 of the Assyrian soldiers are put to death. Their whole army is decimated. The very few remaining wake up the next morning. Tell you what, they break camp and they are gone. And like dogs with their tail between their legs, they are gone. You don't mock God. Point number three, God's jailbreakers. Another wonderful example. You got three examples there in the book of Acts of God's jailbreakers. His apostles. They're put in jail. You can take an apostle, you can arrest them. You can put them in chains, you can put guards locked together with them with those chains, guards at the door, guards on the outside of the door. God sends another one of his special agents, an angel that shows up, and the chains fall off, the doors of the prison slide open. The guards are still awake. But they just, the apostles, walk right out. Another sting operation by God. Successful. And God's reversal on Saul. This was a phenomenal sting operation. Talk about a reversal. The greatest persecutor of the church at that time in the life of the early church, Saul. He's going around arresting them. He's putting them into prison. And he wants their deaths. What does God do? He converts him. And now the greatest persecutor of the church, boom, is converted and turned into the greatest proponent of the church, one of the greatest apostles of the church. See, God delights in these turnabouts and turnarounds. God delights in these sting operations. Now, so let me ask this question, rhetorical question, but where would you like to see a turnaround in your life? Where is it you would love to see God coming in and invading and doing a sting operation and turning things completely around? That's a question I'm going to leave with you. I'm going to let just kind of simmer there with you. And then first, I want to talk about the what ifs. Because there is that question of a seeming defeat. Point number three, the question of a seeming defeat. Because I have seen God do some amazing turnarounds, literally where they said it was cancer. I went back, and the doctors are confounded, and they can't figure it out. But it's gone. In our own family, I'm a miracle baby. I wasn't supposed to be born because my mom was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis after my sister Kathy was born. She was told that she would be in a wheelchair by the time she was 50 years old. She was here, what, 2-3 weeks ago? I'm not going to betray my mom and give her age, give away her age, but she's a little bit over 50. And many of you saw her walking just fine. The doctor couldn't get it. And he said, "We've got x-rays. Look, there are x-rays." And now I don't get it. And he had to admit, this is nothing short of a miracle of God. And today they can do tests and see that there is the evidence. There was multiple sclerosis, and then it just stopped and reversed itself. Can't explain it. So I have seen, and our family has experienced miracles, and our family has experienced not having a miracle. My oldest sister, Cheryl, died of leukemia back in 1994. Left three little kids and a husband behind. And trust me, we were praying like crazy. Why? Why? Probably have to be for a whole nother sermon or even a sermon series to try and answer some of those questions. But I can tell you, I know what it's like when God seemingly doesn't answer your prayers, but I've come to understand and trust in Him. There's still a sting operation going on. There is a sting operation going on. And Paul addresses it. It's in Paul's powerful message about death. And if you're taking notes, by the way, I put these notes here, and not just so that you pay better attention in your head and put right things in. I hope that you might even take them home and study these notes and look up the passages that I cited there. And even, my hope is that if this message has some meaning for you and you can think of somebody who really could use and hear and listen to this message, just go and talk to them about it. Use this as your cheat sheet, but go and talk to them about this amazing news about God's sting operations. See, this whole sting operation in Jesus' resurrection was all about Jesus decimating death. He didn't just defeat death, He destroyed death. That's point number one, subpoint number one. Christ has destroyed death. And Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, life and immortality are ours. Immortality. That means you don't die. Well, you die, but then you're not dead. That's what life everlasting is about. Yeah, my sister died. But guess what? She is not dead. There's still grief and sadness for us. Yes, and yet I can tell you and testify, I have seen God's work in her children, in their lives. He is faithful. But as far as my sister Cheryl, she died, but she is not dead. This is what immortality is about. Subpoint number three, the sting of death is gone. And this is where Paul's talking, and there's almost some mocking going on, where he says, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting now?" Jesus rose up from the dead. And so will we. Those who are in Christ, you can take us down. You can kill us. We don't stay dead. We will be resurrected with Christ. This is the sting operation. You think you got us down? Boom! A reversal. We don't stay dead. God's purpose. And he said it way back 700 years prior. In Isaiah, he says, God's purpose is to destroy death and give us life. To destroy death and give us life. He said, on this mountain, God will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. 700 years prior to that sting operation, God expressed explicitly his purpose was to destroy death. Here is God's gift. Point number 4, God's gift is that of confidence. Confidence. Again in Isaiah, he says, the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. And you can know that even if you should be surrounded by evil, if you think life is out of control and you feel like you're just surrounded by evil, that might be true. But that's the outer rim. There's an inner circle around you because you are also surrounded by God's unfailing love. Many are the woes of the wicked, says in the Psalms. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in Him. Trust. Trust. This is a key. Trust in Him. It might look very grim as you look around and what you are surrounded by, but trust and know that there is an inner circle of God's unfailing love. And it also says in the Psalms that He covers me with His favor as with a shield. God covers me with His favor as with a shield. So, even as the evil tries to press in, you got this shield. And it's God's favor. And you're surrounded by God's unfailing love. On His throne, the Almighty God laughs at His enemies. You read Psalm 2, and it's just like that. Just like Sennacherib. Just like Pharaoh. And who were they? The mightiest kings of the time. All powerful. And they would boast. And God just sat on His throne and laughed at all their threats and all their mocking. And then He acted and put together a sting operation, and bam, the turnaround. But even if, those were the words uttered by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so now it was Nebuchadnezzar. Again, at that point, the Babylonians were the greatest kingdom on the earth. And Nebuchadnezzar had erected this 90-foot gold idol and was demanding that everybody bow down to it when the music played. Otherwise, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, holy men of God, said, ain't going to do it. He calls them in, and he demands and threatens and says, if you will not bow to this idol, I will throw you into that furnace. And their response, King, you know, no disrespect, but we serve one God, and only Him will we bow to. And so, do your worst. We believe that our God can deliver us from you. But even if He should not, know this, we will not bow. That needs to be our stance. Feeling like evil surrounding us, the threat is there, it is alive and real. The doctor said this, or whoever is threatening. I know and I trust I've got this shield of God's favor, His unfailing love surrounding me. I believe God can, like that, deliver me. But even if He chooses not to, I know that's just all part of His sting operation, because you can do your worst, you can kill me, and I won't stay dead. And Jesus is my evidence, because Jesus rose up from the dead. So the choir sang about it. I'm just repeating what they were singing. We praise You, Almighty God. Almighty God of the empty tomb. I love that title for God. The Almighty God of the empty tomb. You've defeated death and have shown there's nothing You can't do. There's no way of denying the awesome power that is Yours. You're the Lord of might and miracles. You're the God of the empty tomb, and we put our trust in You. That is the message. Now, your response, your action, is simply to trust. Hannah Whittle Smith put it that simply. God's role is to work. Our role is just to trust. Just to trust in Him. And so I charge you, trust in God Almighty, the God of the empty tomb. He will do it. He will do it.